Okay, we are on the air. So some interesting shaila sent in. One of them was, you're not allowed to do hachana, which means you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to weekday. And therefore you can't like set things up, do things that you need only for Sunday to do them on Shabbos for Sunday. So someone asked, why are you or are you allowed to take your talis home from shul on Shabbos? You don't need your talis again until Sunday. So why are you taking it home? It's only to be available for Sunday or to be available for next week.
So, great question.
Why?
Phenomenal question.
Thank you, Alex. So it is a phenomenal question. So why, hello, Josh. So we're discussing why on Shabbos are you allowed to carry your talis home from shul? It's hachana, it's preparation for the next week. But we could up the question, which is you take a sefer off the shelf and you learn from it. And now you're finished and you put it back. Why are you putting it back? You're putting it back so it's available for next time. Well, that's after Shabbos. Now, it may be you're going to use it again on Shabbos, fine. But let's say you know you're done. The only reason why you're putting it back is that it should be available for Sunday. So the answer to these questions are, why are you doing this act? Why are you putting it back? Why are you bringing your talis home? The reason why you're bringing it home is not to make it available for Sunday, but that's how you use them. You take something, you put it back. That's the use of now. The way you use things is you take and put back, take and put back. You don't view it, and it's not looked at as if you are prepping, preparing for Sunday or for next week. And therefore, since what you're doing is normal usage and not looked at as prepped, it is okay to take and return to the place where you took it. Okay, that's one shaila. The second shaila was, are you allowed to use a credit card or a bus pass or, I guess in Israel, it's the Rav-Kav, but in America, let's just say a credit card. You want to have a credit card available. In general, Josh, I mean, in general, how is it viewed? That's in general, that's looked at, it's not prep. Hello, Sam. Hello, Martin. Okay, shaila number one, which you guys missed, which is quickly, you are allowed to take your talis home from shul. It's not considered hachana prep for weekday because that's normal usage. You take your return. Question number two on the table is, can you use your credit card or in Israel, the Rav-Kav, the bus pass on Shabbos? And your idea is because you want to have it with you right away after Shabbos. Let's say you're eating by someone else and you want to have a credit card or a bus pass with you so that you can go home. Are you allowed to use it on Shabbos? Is there some way of using it on Shabbos so that it's available and you have it in your hands to take home with you after Shabbos? So the idea they was, can I use it as a bookmark? Can I have a book, a sefer? And on Shabbos, I'm going to use my credit card or my bus pass as my bookmark so that I will now have it with me at the end of Shabbos. So that's called trickery. We don't like that. It's not a good idea. But there's one way that we could do it. Hello, Abba. Well, the only way that you could take your bus pass or your credit card and have it with you on Shabbos is if you do it during the week as well. And here's what you do. You take a little note or tape and tape on there, bookmark on your credit card or on your bus pass, put on that bookmark and use it during the week. If you're going to use it during the week as your bookmark, well, then on Shabbos also. What we're discussing is you want to have your credit card with you at the end of Shabbos because you're in someone else's house and you want it with you when you're traveling back. So if you designate it as your bookmark during the week and write on there bookmark, so then you can use it on Shabbos as well as a bookmark. But to now just go for the first time on this Shabbos and start using it as your bookmark, that's trickery and that's not allowed. Okay, a third shaila sent in was talking before and after.
Rabbeinu, that itself is trickery still. It's still trickery.
Okay, but that trickery, you're right. My goal here is to trick, but I've done it in such a good way, it's not a trick anymore. Meaning the end goal was to have with me at the end of Shabbos. That's fine, but you did a great job because you have now designated the whole week your credit card as your bookmark. And therefore, that trick we're okay with. To have it just for Shabbos, my Shabbos bookmark, that's a problem. Okay, and then the other side that did was talking before bread, right? You wash your hands for bread and you talked. How does this work? So here's what this goes. If you washed and you made a bracha, amati l'sidayim, do not talk until you make hamotzi. But if you did talk, you do not need to wash again. as long as you didn't dirty your hands and you had in mind to keep your hands clean and you went to the meal, just there was a certain joke, you just couldn't control yourself, or a one-liner you had to say. So don't say it. But if you said it, you don't need to watch again. However, if you talk before you made the bracha, you washed your hands, and before you made the bracha, you spoke, now you cannot make that bracha, because then there's a hefsik between the mitzvah and the bracha. And therefore, what you need to do in that case is dry your hands, make your hands dirty, because they're clean, you can't wash them right now, touch the shoes or scratch your head, make your hands dirty, and then wash again with the bracha and don't talk. So if you spoke before the bracha, invalid. Start again. If you spoke after the bracha, don't, but you don't invalidate anything. Okay.
Can you just eat bread? Because your hands are clean. Technically, you did everything right. You just missed the bracha.
Yeah, but you right. Sam is right. Meaning you wash your hands. So you can say, check, my hands are clean. But you're missing the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be done, which is,
You just said the mitzvah was washing, though, not the bracha. And the hefsek was
correct.
The
mitzvah. You've done a mitzvah without a bracha. Same thing. Sam, you're right. I mean, on Sukkot, if I shake my lulav and I don't make any bracha, so I've done the mitzvah. I get 2 points in Shemayim for the mitzvah. But I missed an opportunity of doing a mitzvah with a bracha. So here also, I wash my hands. My hands are clean. Check. In Shemayim, I did get 2 points having clean hands as I go to my meal. But I'm missing the opportunity of doing the mitzvah with a bracha. So just do it again. It's not too late. And therefore, it's better to dry your hands, dirty them, wash them again, make the bracha. So now you've done the mitzvah with the bracha. Okay, those are three random shaylos sent in. So it's not hachana to bring a talis home. It is okay to designate your credit card the whole week to be a bookmark and don't talk. But if you do not make another bracha after the bracha, but watch again before the bracha. All right, tonight's topic is tefilas haderech.
Rabbeinu, real quick question about the Netilas Yadayim. If after you wash your hands and you say the bracha, someone grabs your hand who didn't wash their hands.
Great, Shaila. There are a lot of details to that. Maybe I'll try to put that in the next week's share. It's not a 30-second answer, but it's a great Shaila. Okay, believe me, I'll work on it. Okay, so here we go. Tefilas Haderech. The source for Tefilas Haderech, it's not a pasuk. It isn't Shulchan Aruch, but the Gemara and Brachas and Daf Chaf Tes bring down Eliyahu and Navi went to Rabbi Yehuda and told him to make Tefilas Haderech. So that is the source. Hello, Dr. Langer. We're just starting out Tefilas Haderech. Okay, so Eliyahu and Navi went to Rabbi Yehuda and told him, before you travel, say Tefilas Haderech. That is the source of Tefilas Haderech. And it's explained for two reasons. There are two reasons why we do it. Reason number one is we want to ask permission from Hashem to travel. Similarly, when we eat food, it's Hashem's food. We ask permission, Hashem, can I eat your food? And it's accepted. We understand that if we make the bracha, we got permission. Same thing over here. Before you travel, ask permission from Hashem. And the way we ask permission is by saying Tefilas Haderech. And the more famous reason is to protect us. We're davening that Hashem should give us a safe trip, give us rachamim, and give us a safe trip to where we're going. So these are the two reasons behind Tefilas Haderech: permission and protection, P and P. Now, even today, that right, the nusach and the bracha is to protect us from wild animals and things like that. And when you were traveling with a caravan in a horse and buggy or whatever the carriage is, so then there was more of a chash of wild animals. But nowadays in the cars, we don't really have that. However, there are sometimes riots where you could be surrounded by people that look like wild animals or act like wild animals, and you need protection. And today you have accidents, car accidents. You don't really have carriage accidents. I guess every once in a while you could fall into a ditch. But nowadays, car accidents are definitely taken over. And therefore, when you're davening, you definitely want to daven for protection from terrorists, from car accidents, riots, whatever else could happen on the road. You want to be protected. As far as the first reason, asking permission, that's still here. And Josh, what that means is you're doing an act. Hashem is giving you the world. He's giving you ability to travel, your ability to leave your city. But when you do it, is brought down, you need to ask permission. I'm about to go ahead and travel, leave my city, go somewhere else. I need to ask permission. Again, it's just like when I take a drink of water, I ask permission. So here also when I travel. So those are the reasons behind Tefillas HaDerech. Now, we have to understand which trips require Tefillas HaDerech and when in that trip should we say Tefillas HaDerech, and it's very tricky. So here we go. First of all, it makes no difference if you're traveling in a car, in a bus, in a train, in a plane, or in a boat. Any means of travel, even by walking, any means of travel, if you're going to meet the criteria of distance, will require you to say Tefillas HaDerech. And it makes no difference if you're going for business, for pleasure, or for a mitzvah. Any type of trip will require you to make Tefillas HaDerech. And someone asked in the other share, great question, what happens if you do this trip every day? Every day I commute a certain distance, it doesn't matter. So every day you still need to say Tefillas HaDerech and daven for protection and permission to go. So all these trips will still require you to make Tefillas HaDerech. Now, what is the shir? What distance must you travel in order for there to be a chiyuv Tefillas HaDerech? So the key word here is a parsa. A parsa means 8,000 amos. 8,000 amos is approximately between 2 to 3 miles. What's that mean? If you go around in the city, you're traveling in Toronto, 3 miles, 10 miles, but you're still within the city, no bracha, no Tefillas HaDerech. It means 2 to 3 miles out of your city. So if you leave Miami and you drive out of the Miami city limit, city border, 3 miles out, that is a trip. That's what we're talking about. So a parsa, we're going to call it around 3 miles. It means 3 miles out of your city. However, it also has to be that you're not in the 3 mile border of the next city. And therefore, really what it means is between city A and city B, between those city limits, there must be 6 miles that you will be traveling 3 miles out of city one and still not within 3 miles of city two. That is when you're chayiv and making Tefillas HaDerech. Now, when do you make that bracha? When should you make, Sam, we'll get you soon. Let's finish a few details over here. When do you make that bracha? Ideally, you want to make the bracha within the first 2 to 3 miles when you've left the city. So you're leaving city A, going to city B. Ideally, once you have left the city limits and you're within the 3 miles of outside of city one, that is when you want to make that bracha. So it could be when you're leaving New York, heading somewhere, when you're going somewhere, Queens and Manhattan, let's see, the George Washington Bridge is a major place for Tefillas HaDerech. Because that's like you're leaving a city, you would make it, that's when you've left Manhattan or that's when you've left New Jersey. So that's when perhaps a good time to make Tefillas HaDerech is. But we'll see. Don't be so precise with this. Once you have left the city, so then go ahead and make the bracha. Queens to Manhattan is considered one city. That's New York City. Muncie is a good shaila. That may be a different city, but we're going to get to the details soon, which may answer that question, Josh. But the idea is like this. So once you've left the city, that's when you make the bracha. But let's say you don't know. It's hard to determine when exactly you've left or not left. So that's fine. Don't sweat it. As long as you're not within the city limits, 3 miles of the next city, you can still make the bracha. Also, and this is a major heter, and perhaps should be used when you're driving alone, which is once you have decided that you're leaving, the bags are packed, you've gone to the bathroom, you have gas, you turn on the ignition, you're ready to leave, at that moment, you could also make Tefillas HaDerech. Even though you're in your parking lot, you're still in your driveway. Once you have started the trip and decided you're going, that is, according to the Taz, a time that you can make the bracha. Okay, so I'll wrap on this. Make the bracha ideally within the first 3 miles out of city one. B'diavad, as long as you haven't reached the 3 mile limit of city two, you can make it. And you can even make it as early as when you have started your trip. Now that's borders. Now where it gets really tricky is today, the city limits are very vague because we don't just have boondocks. We don't just have extra extra, well, not just, we don't have like open territory. So when you're driving from, let's say, Chicago to, let's say, Florida, so then along the way, you're going to have miles and miles and miles of nothingness. That's fine. But when you're going from like one state to another city, and it's 10 miles apart, but you have a mall and you have a yeshiva at every exit on the parkway, you have like along the way, there's a lot of civilization, there's buildings, there's stuff along the way. So when is it considered that you've left the city? Because maybe like each building is still connecting me to this city, or I'm never outside of a city. So what about that? So that's fine. We're going to get your question soon. So that is a major debate. And this is like the Poskim are fighting about this shaila all the time. There's a sefer written exactly what mile marker on the highway you can make from this city to that city, this city to that city. It's very tricky because of the shaila. So as a general rule, we'll say like this. If you are leaving what we call city one, going to city two, and it's more than, let's say, 6 miles apart. So then even if along the way there are buildings and malls, as long as it's clearer that you've left city one, going to city two, you can make it. Now, for example, Passaic to Manhattan, those are two clear different cities. But I don't know the mile marker, check the mile marker. If it's more than 6 miles apart, so then perhaps you can. Now, if it's fully inhabited, that's a little bit tricky. If it's fully inhabited along the way, then maybe don't. Because very nice, the municipalities call it separate cities, but it's fully inhabited. But if you're on a highway and there is some, at least a little bit of uninhabited territory, so then we see clearly two separate cities. If it's fully inhabited along the way, then no. And the way it goes like this, in general, you're gonna have many times where you have a suffix. It's just not clear because it just isn't clear. In this case, we can break the rules, which is you can make the bracha. Normally we have a rule, safek brachos lahako. When it comes to this, you can be lenient in a way and make the bracha. And the reason is because as long as it's one city to another city, the danger, the car accidents could still happen. You could have car accidents even in your city. So now we don't make tefillas daf when you're in your city. That much we don't do, even though it could be dangerous as well. So as long as it's from city to city, since there is still the danger of car accidents, whenever in doubt, you can make the bracha. Okay, so again, to do a wrap on this. Best to make the bracha once you left your city. You definitely, Josh, can rely, and it's fine opinion of the Taz, to make the bracha once you've turned your engine on. We'll get later why that may be ideal when you're driving alone. But definitely, it's fine to do it once you've turned your engine on, you're about to go. And which trips get that bracha? Only city to city, if there's 6 miles in between. And as far as continual inhabitation, it is a major debate. Use your judgment, but at the end of the day, the place can say, in this case, when doubt, you're allowed to make it. Not that you have to make it, you could make it. Now, if you want to make it without a bracha, that's also fine. Which means you say, yirat some of anacha, and just leave off at the end, bracha ta Hashem shemayet tefillah, don't say those last five words. That's also fine. You're doing the tefillah, diving to Hashem, hoping you have a safe trip, and leaving out the bracha at the end just because you're in doubt. But this is really weird where the place can say, do whatever you like, because it's just not clear. In Eretz Yisrael, you have it from Bnei Brak, Beit Shemesh, Yerushalayim, very unclear if you should or should not make the bracha. Okay, now that is a quick look at when you make the bracha and which trips get the bracha. As far as the plane goes, if you did not make the Tefillas HaDerech going to the train, going to the plane, so then the ideal time on the plane is as it's speeding up. The reason is because you have the sheet of we're about to go, because the plane is like speeding up. And if you wait a little bit, you're going to be 10 miles out of your city in a second. And then not that's going to be too late, but just you're missing that ideal. So therefore, the ideal time by a plane they bring down is right when the plane is speeding up. Start saying Yehirat Zon. Okay, now, as far as now we're going to get to Dr. Lange's question.
I thought it was when the wheels.
What'd you say?
I thought it was when the wheels detach from the ground, that moment right there when
that's fine. You could do that then also if you could time it perfectly, because we have to realize the bracha isn't a 4 second bracha and it could take a minute. So if you start when the wheels are off, by the time you even got up to Chayos Rose, you're already 10 miles out. If you start when you
but there's that toast.
What did they?
Yeah.
But you talking the brachas? Big tzaddik over here. But listen, as you're speeding up, as you're speeding up, if you start the hiratzon then, so by the time you actually the wheels are off, you're getting up to the bracha time. The point is, because it's not so much of a big deal either way, it's fine. You're going to start when the wheels are off, that's fine. I start as it's really speeding up. But in both cases, you're going to yotze fine in both cases. Now, getting back to that's the language question, okay? You're doing multiple trips. And now this will come out in a few different areas. Here's the way this goes as a rule. Only one tefillah tzedarech a day, as a rule. Now, there'll be an exception to that rule. But a day means day and then the night afterwards. So Monday morning, you say tefillah tzedarech. As a rule, you do not say tefillah tzedarech again the whole Monday up until dawn of Tuesday morning. So from Monday dawn to Tuesday dawn, only one tefillah tzedarech as a rule. And here's the way this goes. Let's say you're doing a road trip. You're going from Chicago to Indiana to Tennessee all in one day. Now in the middle, you're going to take a break here. You're going to daven mincha here. You're going to learn for an hour in this yeshiva. And then you're going to watch a movie, whatever. And then you're going to have like breaks along the way. Okay. But that's your trip. And when you made your bracha, you had in mind your whole trip. I'm going 5 different cities today from Monday dawn to Tuesday dawn. One bracha covers the whole trip. But let's say you thought that you're going to spend the night in Indiana. And therefore you made tefillah tzedarech Monday morning. And you had in mind only to go to Indiana. You got to Indiana and you saw your accommodations and you said, this ain't for me. And you decided I'm going to Memphis tonight. So then what you've just done is you've changed your itinerary. You changed your trip. You did not have in mind to do that originally. And therefore you'll make another tefillah tzedarech, even though it's still Monday dawn to Tuesday dawn. So again, if you have your itinerary and you stick to it, one bracha. If you're making a major change, you're deciding to do a new trip that you did not have in mind, so then only one, then you make a second bracha. Now that's all within a 24-hour period. Hold on a second, let me read this question. Oh, wait. Okay, very good. That Langer asked a different question. I'll get to that later. Okay, so that's one point. Now, point two is, let's say you're doing a multi-day trip, okay? Not multiple trips in one day, but you're traveling over 3 days, constant traveling. So now here's the way this works. If you sleep in a hotel, you sleep in a bed, you have a real break in between, then that's easy. You make the bracha Monday morning, you sleep in a bed Monday night, Tuesday morning, you make another bracha. No problem, right? You're not home yet. You're driving from Chicago to Florida, and you're going to spend 3 nights in different hotels along the way. Every morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, you're going to make another bracha. That's easy. Where it gets a little bit tricky is, let's say you decide you're doing this trip from Chicago to Florida, and you leave before dawn of the next morning. So you made the bracha Monday morning, and then you slept in a hotel Monday night. And Tuesday, before dawn, you started driving. So here's a little bit tricky, because you already made the Monday bracha. Yeah, you slept in a hotel. This you could do really whatever you want. Ideally, what you do is make the bracha Tuesday after dawn. So you started your trip Tuesday before dawn. But since you already made your bracha for Monday, better to make the bracha Tuesday after dawn. But now, that's easy. That's when you're sleeping in a bed, you have a real break in the trip. But let's say you're not having that. Let's say you're constantly on the go, meaning you're traveling, you're flying, and you have multiple stopovers. It's going to be a 48-hour door-to-door trip, and you're having one flight and follow another flight, then a train, then a bus, and you're never in a place. You're never settled. You're never in a bed. So someone asked me, let's say you travel first class and you have a bed. Put that aside. But let's say for most of us here that are traveling in regular class, so then you're constantly just like dozing off in a chair. You're never really settled. So then what do you do with this? So here's the way this goes. Because it's one long trip and there was never a real break in the middle, you do not make another tefillah tzedarech again with a bracha. But what you should do is do it without a bracha. And therefore, you're leaving Monday morning. You're going to get to your destination Thursday, every morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, if you're still traveling, stay to the deck without a bracha. Because you're still, it's one big trip, and therefore maybe only gets one bracha. On the other hand, this one big trip spans multiple days, and therefore you would make another tzedarach, but do it without a bracha since there was no break in the middle. Okay, that's a general view of how you look at travel. Now, the question Dr. Langer had was, let's say you're going from city A to city C, and in the middle, you're passing through city B. We do not look at city B. And therefore, as long as you're going from city A to city C, and you are not within 3 miles of city C, so then you can still make your tefillah sederach along the way. City B, in the middle, that you don't care about, you're just passing through, doesn't count. That's not your destination. That's not your starting point or your destination. Okay, Sam, you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question on the beginning of the shiur of a parsa.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make more sense to think about the time distance that it would take to travel a parsa and to think about what the rabbis had in mind originally rather than the actual distance?
Sam, I'm very glad you asked the question. That's a question that you would ask. And it's a definitely question the place can discuss your question, right? They asked Sam's question, which is it just distance travel? Is it time travel? It's debated. That issue is a heavy debate in the halakhic authorities. They also debate, let's say on a map, from point A to point B is not a parsa. But with the roads, in order to get there, you're traveling a parsa because there's no direct route. You have to go a little bit, you know, twisty. The way that goes is they made the rule. The rule is traveling a parsa. Therefore, even if it's less than 8,000 amas from point A to point B, but you have to travel the roads and the roads take you 8,000, that's a parsa, you make the bracha. As far as the time goes, some people drive fast, some people drive slow, different modes of transportation, plane. Therefore, they made one general rule, a parsa, traveling a parsa, period. Okay, now as far as Alex, your question, or Team Siegel, your question, when you say without Hashem's name, what it means is like this. You say the whole Tefillah Derech, just not the bracha at the end. No bracha to Hashem, Shemei Tefillah. You'll say, Yiras Avonach Hashem, you'll say the name Hashem, you'll say it. But you just won't say the last five words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomei Tefillah. That's what you leave off. So when in doubt, like on what type of trip you're doing, you even can say Baruch Atah Hashem. When you're doing a multi-day trip without a break in the middle, then it's better to do it without Hashem's name. Now, a last few points over here is if you're driving with multiple people, everyone can make their own, or one person can make for everyone, whichever one you like. Men and women are exactly equal in this, so everyone's chayiv and everyone can be motzi the other one. That's fine. It's best to do it when you are sitting down. So if you're walking for miles, just take a break. If you're driving, so here's the way this goes. Best not to do it while you're driving because you may have a hard time concentrating. So here's what we said before, that if you're traveling with someone else, let that someone else make it for the driver. If you're driving by yourself, best probably is to pull over to the side of the road, but no one wants to do that. It could be dangerous. It could hold you back up. So then you could do one of two things. If you know it by heart, so you can say it while you're driving, or you can say it right before you leave, like we said before from the Taz, right when you turn on your ignition, you're ready to go and you're driving by yourself. So then there maybe even lechachila to make the bracha right away. That is that. But again, if you made it while you're driving, it's fine. Now, let's say you're driving and you're by yourself and you don't know it by heart. What do you do now? And you're on the highway. You're not pulling over. It's dangerous. So here's what you do. Try to say it by heart. If you think you know most of it by heart, you can say it with Hashem's name. As long as you're saying the ikkar part, which is, let me drive safely. Tolichenu l'shalom v'tzatzidenu l'shalom. If you can remember that part, then say whatever you remember. Baruch atah Hashem, Shomei Tefillah, that's good. If you don't even know that part by heart, just say something in English and don't say Hashem's name. Don't say Baruch Hashem Shemei Tefillah if you don't really know it by heart. Okay, now there is a shaila if you say the words V'tachzireinu l'shalom, which means I should return safely. This is a machlokes if you always say that or don't always say that. It doesn't matter really. Do whatever you want to do. It doesn't affect anything. The minhag is if you're coming back in the same day to say it. That's a minhag. But whether you do say it or whether you don't say it, it doesn't change anything else that we discussed in the shir today. It's not going to make you say it again or exempt you from saying it again. So if you want to say this word, say it. The meaning is when you come back in the same day, you say it. The last point here, which is a debate amongst the Rishonim, is what's called bracha smucha l'chaverta, which is, should there be a bracha before the yehi ratzon? If you look in the Siddur, it starts yehi ratzon. But sometimes we find that we make a bracha before that. For example, in the morning, hamavir shena, bracha desha hamavir shena, and then we go into yehi ratzon mafanacha, because we want a bracha to be before that yehi ratzon. Since it's a long bracha, it doesn't start with a bracha. We want to start it with a bracha, so we say hamavir shena, then we go into yehi ratzon. By tefillas ha-derech, there's a machlokes. Should we do the same thing? And therefore, there's definitely a custom of people to say asher yatzar or al hamichya right before tefillas ha-derech. And you go, so let's say you go to the bathroom in the house, don't say asher yatzar. Hold it, hold the bracha, go into the car, start driving, then say asher yatzar, bracha to Hashem, rofecho vasar, umafli lasos, yihi ratzon milfanacha, and start tefillas ha-derech. Or eat something, have some pretzels or cookies, bracha to Hashem, al hazeh hamichya, that's ideal to do that. Some people don't do it. Some people don't like it. Some people forget to do that. It's not makid. You have a debate. I try to do it, but if it's not available because I didn't go to the bathroom or I have no food, you still say you're at zone because that without it. Just, you know, it's perhaps ideal for sure, according to some people, to do it like that. Okay, that is a wrap on Tzedach. Next week, I'm going to do back to Hilchah Shabbos. I think we're going to do kosher, tying things, what we can tie or untie, and things like that. We are running out of time. So let's do something quick. Bitachon. So the Chayvah Tzavah, what we're up to now in Bitachon is discussing when you ask someone to do something for you and he does it or he doesn't do it. How should you view that? So he says, you look at the middle guy exactly the same way, whether he did it or didn't do it, which is he's doing you a favor. You ask him to do something for you, he's doing it for you. Whether he was successful or not successful, he still gets the same thank you very much. And when he is successful, you say, thank you very much for doing that for me. And thank you Hashem for letting him be successful. And when he's not successful, you say, thank you very much for doing that for me. And thank you Hashem for not letting him be successful. It's viewed at exactly the same way. And the same thing when you are that middle guy. When someone asks you to do something and you do it, don't start patting yourself on the back. I'm good, I did it. I'm a nice guy, I did him something, and Hashem let me be successful. And if you were unsuccessful, it's, I'm a nice guy, I did something for him, and Hashem didn't let me be successful. So you're viewing it exactly the same way, and that's our actions are in our hands, the results are not in our hands. And therefore, you have to always remember that when you're the middle guy, or when you appoint that middle guy, to view it like that. In tefillah, I want to start Ashrei. We may do this over 2-3 weeks, but Ashrei is made up of 3 different parakim of Tehillim. The first pasuk is one parak somewhere else, the second pasuk somewhere else, and then the rest is Kuf Mem Hei. But Ashrei Yosha Yisacha, we're saying, Hashem, we love being in your house. That doesn't just mean you're our house, it means Hashem's house. That's a place to be, settled in your house. Part two is like this. We say Ashrei Am Shekachal, Ashrei Ham Shashem Elokav, which is we're so fortunate that Hashem is our God. We want to be in your house, and we're lucky that Hashem Elokav, Hashem is our God. Now, going into this, that's the introduction. We want to be in your house. We're lucky that you're our God. Now we start. Aromimcha, you are huge. You're high. Aromimcha means you are so high, way higher than we can even reach. So Aromimcha, we first recognize where you are, Hashem. You're up there. Then we say, we every day want to bless you. What does that mean? The same way you, Hashem, create the world anew every day you create a new Maaseh Bereishis, every day we want to thank you for that. Every day we want to give you brachas. And at the end of the day, Gadol, we're saying, Gadol, you are so huge. We can't even comprehend your greatness. So this is like the beginning of Ashrei. We want to be with you. We're so lucky that you are our God. We realize you're there. We want to give you brachas every day, the same way you give us brachas every day. But still, at the end of the day, we will never be able to comprehend your greatness. Okay, that's the introduction to Asherei. We'll build on it next week a little bit more. And we'll end off with Evar on the Parsha. Parsha's Korach. Fascinating. The word Korach means bald. The Gemara says that he made a bald spot in Klal Yisrael. Korach made a bald spot in Klal Yisrael because he caused the machlokes. Many people died as a result of him and his machlokes. He created a bald spot in Klal Yisrael. So I want to know, why did his parents call him Baldy, right? Would anyone have a kid and then, hey, look at him. Now, every kid is born bald, right? It's a great name. Like, hey, he's bald. But like, that's the name you want to name your kid? Bald? A. B, like, did it reference making a bald spot in Klal Yisrael? Like, was that what the parents were thinking? Oh, great, I'm so happy. My son, oh, he's going to rip Klal Yisrael apart, right? What were they thinking when they named him Korach? So I'll tell you something very interesting. Parash is Baloscha. Shevet Levi shaves themselves bald. In order to prepare for the Avodah, all the Levim shave themselves bald like a ping pong ball. Everywhere, no hair. That was a Tara process. We find that by a Nazir and by a Metzora. They shave themselves bald. That's part of a Tara process. Most likely, his parents named him Korach because they were tapping into the Tara, the Kedusha of a Levi that shaved himself bald. That brings him to Kedusha and Tara. Unfortunately, he went the other way. There's a Medrash which has a story where someone found a grass that was known to cause Tchias HaMesim. It had that ability. He wanted to try it out. He wasn't sure. So he was right next to a dead lion, the Medrash says. He gave it to that lion. The lion woke up and ate him. So here we go. He had this koyach in his hands, the Tchias HaMesim, and he wasted it on a lion, and then he's dead. And that could be what happened over here. We, Korach had, and we all have, certain koyches of either direction. Our job is to take it and use it the right way. Korach, unfortunately, went the wrong way. All right, that's a wrap. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a great night. Next week, Shabbos Kosher. Good Shabbos.